This is Dirt in the Machine, a Star Wars prequel trilogy fanfic written by Bedlam's Bard and read by Rena Jenkins. The story is rated PG-13 and contains the pairing Obi-Wan Kenobi, Anakin Skywalker, with additional tags for genderfuck, alternate universe gender changes, female Obi-Wan Kenobi, Clone Wars, with some background information taken from the Clone Wars Extended Universe comics canon, though that information should be self-explanatory. This story is the third in the series Oxygen and Rust. Summary. In the midst of the Clone Wars, Obi-Wan Kenobi and her Padawan are captured by Count Dooku, whose agenda may be entirely different from that of the mysterious Lord Sidious. Chapter 1. Right now, the only thing that Anakin Skywalker wants in the universe is a hot shower and a warm bed. He's even willing to forego the shower if it gets him into bed quicker. There's still a few clicks from Crimson Station, which means a few more clicks of trudging through 12 kinds of muck in pouring rain, which weighs down his robes and soaks through his clothes down to the bone. Even the clone's armor isn't white anymore, just a few patches showing through the mud that slicks over it like a second coat of paint. At least they're well camouflaged. "Master," he complains faintly, not really expecting Obi-Wan to hear him over the rain and the squelching sound of the marching troopers. "No war machines here. They'd be even more useless than on Jabim. How much further?" "As long as it takes, Anakin," Obi-Wan replies, tired and distracted. She tugs her hood closer over her face, shadowing it completely, and tucks her hands into the sleeves of her robe. In the gloom, she looks like nothing more than a slight brownish bulk, a little paler than the surrounding darkness. Sunset had been a few hours ago. Anakin doesn't know what time it is now, and can't bring himself to care. "Just another couple of hours," he tells himself. "Just another couple of hours, and then they'll be at Crimson Station, where they can fall into bed and let Master Unduli take over until they're forced to rouse themselves from unconsciousness." Funny how everyone had claimed that this planet was firmly in the Republic's grasp, until the Separatists had turned up, firmly ensconced on the surface like they'd been here for years. Maybe they have. Maybe they've been lied to all along, and the Queen Priestess isn't as surprised as she'd been leading them all to believe. Maybe the Separatists have fooled her as they fooled us. Obi-Wan murmurs, picking up the stray thought from the front of Anakin's mind. "Mind your thoughts, Padawan." "Yes, Master," Anakin mutters. "Sorry, Master." Obi-Wan doesn't reply. Her own misery sunk deep into the force around them, despite her best intentions. Anakin thinks of a lot of things to say, but Obi-Wan clearly doesn't want to talk, and Anakin's really too tired to have a real conversation. "Just a few more hours," he tells himself. "Just a few more hours, then they'll be at Crimson Station, and they can hand off their duties to Master Unduli and her Padawan." He is so obsessed with the thought that he almost misses the faint whisper in the Force that precludes a sep attack. "Master!" he cries. But Obi-Wan has felt it too, and is already spinning around, her movement slowed by the thick mud. Her lightsaber blazes blue in her hand, raindrops sizzling into steam as they hit the blade. Anakin follows in the same heartbeat, teeth bared in a grimace as he squints into the darkness, reaching out with the Force to find the sep forces before the shooting starts. He's so tired. All he senses is a vast blankness and the warm, reassuring presence of Obi-Wan beside him. The clones, alerted by his cry, are starting to spread out, moving into position a little slowly because of the mud. An ARC trooper is barking orders, Anakin thinks that it's Cody, but he can't actually tell. He's too tired to expend the extra effort to tell one clone from another. He realizes belatedly that they've walked into an ambush when the first rocket explodes in the middle of the column behind them. It sends them reeling backwards, clones flying everywhere, and Anakin's lightsaber extinguishing when he falls flat on his ass, and he shoves aside the sound of screaming to take in what the explosion has illuminated. They've walked into a canyon, and its steep walls are so thickly covered with droids that it looks like they've grown there. Blaster fire rains down on them as Anakin scrambles for his lightsaber, Obi-Wan deflecting the shots and cursing in a way that's completely unfitting for a Jedi Knight as the clones start to return fire, medics shouting and pulling the wounded under what cover they can manage. A sharp whistle heralds the approach of a second rocket. Anakin thrusts out his ungloved hand and shoves with the Force, stopping the rocket in midair. It wiggles slightly, fighting him, and he bites his lip until he tastes blood, willing it slowly back as it reverses course, and then goes, flying back in the direction it came from. Droid parts erupt in the air as it explodes. Good job, Anakin. Obi-Wan pants, parrying a blaster bolt. Anytime, Master, Anakin says, igniting his own lightsaber. Cody, get Blue Squad to cover our retreat, Obi-Wan orders, the Force behind her words that they carry. Get the wounded out of here. We'll bring up the rear. She flings her free hand out, sending two droidicas flying backwards amongst their fellows, her eyes nearly crossed in concentration as she deflects a third rocket. Anakin covers her, his lightsaber flashing before his eyes as he parries bolts. General, Commander, you ought to get out of here, Cody says, settling in beside them with his blaster cradled lovingly in his arms. We'll cover you. Cover the retreat, Cody, Obi-Wan snaps. That's an order. Anakin and I will take care of this. All right. Hey, get these clones out of here, he shouts, waving his arm to get their attention. Go, go, go! Anakin's ears are ringing with the sound of blaster fire. If his hearing wasn't already busted after a lifetime in close proximity to fast speeders and faster starfighters, much to his master's dismay, the war probably would have done it. As it is, he can barely hear Cody shouting over the din. The only reason he doesn't miss Obi-Wan's yell is because she grabs the back of his robe and yells in his ear, "Time to go, Anakin!" His name ends in a wet, choked-off sound as Obi-Wan stumbles backwards, dragging him down with her grip on his robe. "Master!" he cries, his lightsaber fallen, forgotten into the mud. They're both so filthy that he can't distinguish blood from mud, but he can feel her life flickering and fading in the Force as she gasps, bubbles of blood at the corners of her mouth. Her eyes are wide and blank, her hands clasping and unclasping weakly on his robe as Anakin bends over her, all coherent thought going out of his mind except, "No, no, no, not again, no!" It's like his mother on Tatooine all over again, like Jabim and Argonar, and 100 other worlds where Jedi and clones have died gasping under his hands. Anakin braces his forehead against his master's, his tears cutting tracks through the mud on his face, and grasps for the strands of the Force. "Not this time," he snarls. "Not this time. Come on, Obi-Wan, stay with me. I'm going to save you." He knows how to heal, of course. All Jedi do. But he's never been any good at it. A true Jedi healer could go in and take care of everything that's damaged, stitch together torn tissue and muscle and broken bones with nothing but their mind. But all Anakin can do is think frantically, "Fix it!" and shoves the Force into Obi-Wan, running one hand over the place on her torso where the worst damage seems to be. Obi-Wan spasms, her back arching as she tries to scream, her blood gurgling in her throat. Anakin grips her close, words tumbling over his tongue as he begs her to stay with him, to live, because he can't lose her too. No, not again, please. He doesn't see the combat droids until they're practically on top of them. "No," Anakin protests, his lightsaber flying into his hand, but he doesn't even make it to his feet before a droid smashes its rifle into the back of his skull, and he falls face down across Obi-Wan's body, tasting blood and mud in the instant before unconsciousness comes. When Anakin wakes up, he thinks, "Obi-Wan," and reaches out for her with his mind, panic increasing when he can't find her. Using the Force feels like swimming through mud. He shoves with his mind, trying to find his way through because his master has to be there somewhere. At last, he finds her, though he can't seem to focus long enough to tell her where she is or how badly she's hurt. Just that she's alive. Something's weird about this, though. Anakin lets the Force carry him along, drifting in little waves and eddies through the bog of it. This isn't normal. Not for him. And there are only a few life forms in his immediate vicinity. Lots of mechanicals. Droids, mostly. But no clones. No other Jedi but him and Obi-Wan and... He sits bolt upright, his eyes flying open. He's sitting in a small room, all gray durasteel with diamond patterns on the floor and walls. His wrists are cuffed together in front of him. His robe and utility belt, with his lightsaber and comlink, are missing. He touches his fingers to the back of his head gingerly, wincing when he finds dried blood clotted in his filthy hair. He remembers the droid knocking him out with the butt of its rifle, which is a new one for him. Separatists don't take captives unless they can get something out of it. The droids should have blown him and Obi-Wan away. Not that he's complaining, except he doesn't like mysteries, and this is definitely one of them. Anakin glances up. Air vent to his right, tacked against the ceiling. Too small for a human to get through. Door directly in front of him. He hops off the hard cot and goes over to inspect, running his fingers over the wall beside it in hopes of finding a control panel. But as far as he can tell, there isn't one on this side of the room. It's a cell, never meant to be opened from the inside. In the corner of the room opposite the air vent is what Anakin is pretty sure is a camera, though it's no kind he's ever seen before. He waves his cuffed hands at it. "Hey, you! Whoever's watching this! I want to see my master right now, or the fact that you've just kidnapped two Jedi is going to be the least of your problems." He really doesn't want to think about the fact that the Jedi Council has probably written them off as dead. Because who knows how long they've been here. But that's not the important thing. The important thing is that both he and Obi-Wan are here, and as long as they're together, then they can get out of this. He shouts at the camera some more, mostly to relieve his own anxiety rather than because he thinks anyone's going to respond, then goes and sits back down on the couch, wondering where the hell he is and what they've done with Obi-Wan. At least he knows that she's alive, thanks to the Force, but he has no idea what condition she's in or how badly injured she really is. It had felt bad back on the planet. But now Anakin just can't tell. At least she's alive. "It's strange how we keep meeting like this, Skywalker." Anakin leaps up as the door slides open, revealing Count Dooku, elegant in black. Almost a mockery of the Jedi uniform. Anakin glances at the lightsaber on his belt, then demands, "Where's Obi-Wan?" "If you were my Padawan, Skywalker, I would teach you patience," Dooku says, sounding faintly annoyed. "And manners." "Where is Obi-Wan Kenobi?" Anakin repeats, ignoring him. "Master Kenobi was badly injured in the ambush," Dooku concedes, looking Anakin up and down as if he doesn't like what he sees. "That's all right. Anakin isn't too fond of the view either. She is currently being treated for her injuries. My medical droids inform me that she ought to recover without permanent damage." "I want to see her." "She wouldn't be aware of it," Dooku says. "She's in a Bacta tank." "She'll know," Anakin says. His voice sounds cold to his ears. He clenches both fists, metal and flesh, wanting to wrap his fingers around Dooku's throat. "Your devotion to your young master is remarkable, Padawan," Dooku says. He looks at Anakin again, his expression considering. "Very well. I shall permit you to see her, so long as you give me your parole not to attempt to escape or harm me. If you betray your word, I shall kill first Obi-Wan Kenobi, then you. Do I have your oath?" Anakin hesitates, then nods, thinking of the horrible gasping sound Obi-Wan had made as she bled out in the mud and muck of the planet's surface. "I give you my word as a Jedi." He thrusts his hands out towards Dooku. "Take the cuffs off." "Not part of the bargain, I'm afraid," Dooku says. Anakin lets his hands drop. "I need to report to the Jedi Council." "Really?" Dooku says, sounding mildly entertained. "And why would I permit you to do that?" "You've never taken captives before," Anakin says cautiously. "So you must want something from us. If you're going to ransom us or trade us or something, you need to let the Republic know we're alive, or they'll think you're lying. And it will go better if Obi-Wan or I tell them that, but since Obi-Wan can't..." "There's one thing you haven't considered, young Skywalker." "What's that?" "Perhaps I don't want the Republic to know that you and Master Kenobi live," Dooku says, and turns away, cape fluttering after him. Anakin follows him, glancing around and trying to memorize everything he sees, because the Republic might never get another chance like this to see the inside of Dooku's command carrier up close. Of course, the importance of that is predicated on their eventually making it back to Republic territory, but Anakin is trying not to think about that right now. Everywhere he looks, there are droids. Some of them glance at him curiously, but most seem content to ignore him, focused on their duties. He has the uncomfortable feeling that besides him, Obi-Wan, and Dooku, there might not be another life form on the entire ship. He reaches out with the Force again, trying to find out for sure, but it's the same as it had been before, like swimming through mud. He shakes his head, reaching up with his cuffed hands to pinch the bridge of his nose between two fingers. "If you're trying to use the Force, Skywalker, I'm afraid that won't be possible," Count Dooku says over his shoulder. "Why not?" Anakin demands. "Because I've given you a drug that obstructs your ability to connect with the Force," says Dooku. "It's experimental, but preliminary reports have been promising. And I see it's working." Anakin stops dead in the hallway, staring at him. "What?" Dooku beckons him forward. "Don't concern yourself over much. When the drug wears off, you should be able to interact with your midichlorians again." "Should be able to? Who are you doing these experiments on anyway?" "That's none of your concern. Come along, Skywalker. You do wish to see your master, don't you?" "Yes," Anakin says, scowling at his back as he starts moving forward again. But Dooku's wrong, he thinks distractedly. He can still feel the Force. It's just more difficult than it usually is for him. But his midichlorian count is so high. Maybe for an ordinary Jedi, it's like being deaf and blind. He resists the urge to chew on a fingernail, which Obi-Wan has been trying to train him out of for years. Dooku leads him through the guts of the ship, past ranks of powered-down battle droids. Anakin doesn't need the Force to tell him that the Sith Lord is showing off the power of the Confederacy. He resists the urge to shout to Count Dooku. He's more than aware of what the Confederacy is capable of. He just wants to see Obi-Wan. Dooku finally leads him into a room with a single Bacta tank in the center of it. There's a medical droid standing beside it. But Anakin doesn't care about that, shoving forward into the room as Count Dooku steps aside. Stripped of her Jedi robes, the cloud of her red hair free of its usual elaborate braids, Obi-Wan looks smaller and younger, almost delicate as she floats in the Bacta. The blaster wounds on her torso don't look as bad as Anakin had feared, but it might just be the Bacta obscuring them. He's seen Obi-Wan naked, or nearly naked, enough times before. He doesn't spare time looking at her bare legs or the curve of her breast beneath the breastband someone has modestly put her in. "Give me that," he demands, snatching the data pad from the medical droid's hands and checking Obi-Wan's vitals. "Everything looks like it's in order," he's relieved to find, as he scrolls through the report. Heartbeat steady, lost blood replaced. He's not going to ask from where, since it doesn't exactly look like there are a lot of donors lined up. Wounds clean of infection. Everything looks good. She's been in the Bacta for almost 24 hours already. The estimate for full recovery is another 18 before she should be moved to a bed. Anakin runs down the list of administered drugs, trying to find the unfamiliar force blocker that Dooku had given him. If Obi-Wan can't use the force, it will take her twice as long to heal, maybe more. If Dooku had given it to her, it's not there. "Content, young Skywalker?" Dooku inquires. Anakin hands the datapad back to the droid and flattens his palms against the glass, looking up at Obi-Wan as he reaches out with the Force. Knowing what's blocking him doesn't make it any easier, but this close, he can feel Obi-Wan's life force, strong and steady and familiar. "I want to stay with her," he says, not looking back at Dooku.
"You make an unusual number of demands for a Padawan," Count Dooku observes.
"I gave you my parole," Anakin insists. "Obi-Wan's wounded. It's not like she's going anywhere. And I won't go anywhere without her anyway. She's my master. It's my duty to stay with her."
"So devoted, even for a Padawan," says the Count. "No. You may give your report to the Jedi Council. Then you will be escorted back to your cell. Once Master Kenobi has been removed from the Bacta, I will consider your request."
"But," Anakin protests automatically, then stops, blinking.
"You're going to let me talk to the Council? Why?"
"Perhaps you made a compelling argument, young Skywalker. Perhaps I am merely curious to see how my old master responds to this unique situation of yours." He makes an impatient gesture towards Anakin. Obi-Wan's face is so calm, so still in the murky Bacta liquid. Anakin lingers as long as he can, then drags himself away from the tank and follows Dooku back into the hallway, glancing over his shoulder at his master.
"Why? Why save two of the Republic's heroes, then give Obi-Wan Kenobi medical treatment for the wounds she'd sustained at the hands of Dooku's own forces? None of it makes any sense. Anakin has no idea what Dooku thinks he can get from them." He wonders if he dares ask.
Dooku doesn't take him all the way up to the bridge, just takes him into another small room with a holocom in it. Anakin programs the Council's information into it, wondering if this is some kind of a trick, and steps up onto the platform, grinning in relief when Master Yoda's and Master Windu's figures flicker into sight in front of him.
"Skywalker," says Windu, sounding relieved as Anakin makes his formal bow. "Where are you? Master Unduli reported that you and Obi-Wan never made it to Crimson Station, and your clone commander reported you lost."
"Yes, Masters," Anakin says, apology creeping into his voice.
We've been captured by Count Dooku. Master Obi-Wan was badly injured in the ambush, I was knocked unconscious, and Dooku brought us here and treated us. I've seen Obi-Wan. She's in a Bacta tank right now, but it looks like she'll be all right.
An aggressive move, this is,
Master Yoda says.
There with you, Count Dooku is.
Dooku steps up onto the platform beside Anakin. I am here, my old master.
We require the immediate return of Master Kenobi and Padawan Skywalker,
Windu informs him. He and Master Yoda exchange an unreadable look. Then Windu grimaces and goes on.
Name your ransom.
I don't intend to ransom them, says Dooku.
Then what do you want? Anakin says bitterly. If you think you can recruit Obi-Wan, you're wrong. She'll never turn to the dark side.
I have always been of the opinion that Padawan should be seen and not heard, Dooku muses. You've given your report to the Council. Guards, escort young Skywalker back to his cell.
Wait!
Anakin protests, as four battle droids step forward.
Stay with Obi-Wan, Anakin,
Windu orders.
We will inform the Supreme Chancellor immediately.
No, Dooku snaps. This is a Jedi matter. If Palpatine hears of this, both Kenobi and Skywalker will die. What? Anakin says. But two of the droids have seized his elbows and are frog-marching him out of the room. He twists over his shoulder, trying to hear what Windu and Yoda are saying, but the door slides shut behind him. He stops fighting the droids as soon as it does, and they loosen their grips. They must have been ordered not to be too harsh with him. They settle into formation around him on the way back to his cell, where they deposit him and lock the door behind him. Anakin drops down onto the bed and broods in his misery, trying to remind himself that the grim figure of Obi-Wan in the Bacta tank is a good thing, even though it doesn't feel that way. Under normal circumstances, he'd be more troubled by what Dooku had meant when he ordered Master Windu and Master Yoda not to tell the Supreme Chancellor of their captivity. But worry for his master is consuming him now, so that he can barely think of anything else. He knows that Dooku had tried to recruit Obi-Wan once before, but Dooku has to know that Obi-Wan will never leave the Jedi. The Order is her life, in a way that it will never be Anakin's, no matter how hard he tries to make it be. And if Dooku had only wanted Obi-Wan, then why bring Anakin as well? Why go ahead and let him report to the Jedi Council? None of it makes any sense. Anakin flops back on the bed, which isn't particularly comfortable, but is a lot better than most of the places he's been sleeping lately, and stares up at the ceiling. He misses the Force like he misses his right hand, like he misses Obi-Wan and Padme. Whatever Dooku's been experimenting with, it definitely works. He ought to have told the Council. The Jedi will come for them. The Jedi will come for them, because they'll never leave any of their own behind, and if they don't come in time, then Anakin and Obi-Wan will find a way out of this on their own, because that's what they do. Even if he isn't certain about anything else, Anakin is certain of that.
Chapter 2. Obi-Wan feels like she's floating. It's a peculiarly weightless feeling, like the time that she and Anakin had gone cloud surfing on Ifkar 3. Colorless mists all around them, no solid ground, no sky, nothing at all but them, the mists, and the Force. This time, she can't feel the Force. The realization makes her panic, her mind opening up as she shoves mentally outwards, grasping frantically for the familiar threads of the Force, and finding herself blocked every time, like running face first into an energy wall, like standing frozen in horror in the palace of Theed as her entire world came crashing down around her ears. Obi-Wan opens her mouth to scream, the way she'd screamed when Qui-Gon died, and opens her eyes to the plain metal ceiling above her. Obi-Wan blinks. She raises her head slightly, looking from side to side. She's in a small room, an empty Bacta tank standing abandoned to her left. Anakin is sitting on her other side, leaning on her bed with his head pillowed on his arms, snoring slightly. A soft, familiar sound. Obi-Wan raises her hand to touch his hair, and is drawn short by a jerk and a soft clink of metal on metal. She looks to see what stopped her, puzzled, and is surprised to find herself handcuffed to the bed. "This isn't a Republic med center," she says out loud. "Master!" Anakin jerks upright, his eyes wide. "You're awake!" "Anakin," Obi-Wan says slowly, sitting up and trying not to wince. Anakin puts his cuffed hands out to help her, looking at her with worried eyes. "Where are we?"
We're on Count Dooku's command cruiser," he explains, faintly shamefaced.
"We were captured in the ambush. You were badly wounded, and they took me by surprise when I was trying to help you. Dooku's given you medical treatment," he adds, like that's any kind of reassurance.
"You came out of a Bacta tank a few hours ago."
Obi-Wan touches her free hand to her torso, where she can remember, like a bad dream, blaster bolts ripping through her, searing through flesh and muscle, and taking her life's blood with them. Through the crinkly hospital gown she's wearing, she can feel layers of bandage.
"Why? Dooku has no love for Jedi."
"I think he's recruiting," Anakin says reluctantly, looking as revolted by the idea as Obi-Wan feels. "He let me contact the Jedi Council for a couple of minutes, and he said that he didn't want to ransom us, and that if the Council told the Supreme Chancellor he'd kill us both, that this was a Jedi matter. And you know he's always been kind of obsessed with you because of Master Qui-Gon."
"I am aware," Obi-Wan says. "How long has it been?"
"I think 2 days, Anakin says. "I was knocked out, and when I came to, I was here. You were in the Bacta tank for 32 hours. They let me out of my cell and locked me in here with you when they took you out of it."
"But the Council knows we're here," Obi-Wan mutters.
She runs her free hand through her hair, loose around her shoulders.
"Are you all right?"
He nods. "Just a knock on the head and Dooku's drugs. He's got something that blocks Force ability." "That explains her nightmare."
"A mask?" Obi-Wan questions.
"Like what Ventress used?"
"No, some kind of drug. They've stuck me with it twice already. You too, I think."
Obi-Wan winces. She's never liked needles. She looks at the IV in her arm.
"Take this out," she orders.
Master, I don't think... "Take it out!"
Softer, she adds.
"I don't know what it is."
"I think it's a painkiller," Anakin offers. But he reaches forward anyway, graceful despite his bonds.
Obi-Wan glances away so that she doesn't have to see the needle come out of her skin, bracing herself for the prick of pain, but it never comes. The door slides open, and Anakin shifts, moving into a defensive posture as Count Dooku enters the room.
"Ah, Master Kenobi," he says. "How good of you to join us. How are you feeling?"
"A bit puzzled," Obi-Wan says.
"My Padawan tells me you don't intend to ransom us back to the Republic, and that you instructed the Jedi Council not to inform the Supreme Chancellor of our captivity. Might I ask why?"
"For a very good reason," says Count Dooku. "Do you remember what I told you back on Geonosis?"
Obi-Wan meets his eyes.
"About what Qui-Gon might have done when presented with your offer."
"That as well, but I was thinking of something else."
His gaze is as sharp as any Jedi's.
"You said that a Sith Lord controlled the Senate," Obi-Wan says, allowing herself to frown a little as she works out the implications in her head. "We have had no evidence of this accusation. It is the truth," Count Dooku says. "So in order to convince the Council of this, you kidnapped two Jedi and threatened to kill us if we warned the Senate and the spy?" Obi-Wan sniffs. "Somehow I doubt your sincerity, Count." "I have no doubt of that, Master Kenobi. I have no love for the Jedi, and the Jedi have no love for me."
"You said it like it's a surprise. All the people you killed, I knew them!" Anakin snaps, bouncing on the balls of his feet, moving a little to put himself between Dooku and Obi-Wan. "What do you want with us?"
"With you, Skywalker? Nothing. With your master now."
"You can't have her!"
Anakin says, alarm in his voice. He shifts again as Count Dooku moves, his gaze steady on Obi-Wan's. She looks back at him. "I told you once before, Count Dooku, I will not join you. I am a Jedi."
"So was I once," he says.
"There are many things that will tempt a Jedi to the dark side, Master Kenobi. Ambition. Grief. Anger. Love." He puts his hand out, not touching Anakin, and closes his fist. Anakin gasps, his hands flying to his throat as he struggles with an invisible grip. Obi-Wan starts forward, the cuff on her wrist jerking her to a sudden halt.
"What are you doing?" she demands, grabbing for the Force to help her and finding herself blocked. The energy walls all over again, and she feels a sudden, deafening fear that her nightmare hadn't been one at all, but precognition. The Jedi gift that she has always hated.
"Let him go!"
Anakin claws his bound hands at thin air, his face turning slowly purple as he fights for air.
"Master!" he gasps out, the word tearing at the air between him, a ragged edge to the vowels.
Obi-Wan yanks at the cuff, frantic to get to him, but she's only human. Without the Force, she doesn't have the strength to break it.
Dooku watches Anakin with a thoughtful expression on his face.
"It's strange, isn't it?"
he says, "that the Code places such importance on a Jedi's lack of attachment. Yet at the same time, the Council fosters the relationship between Master and Padawan."
"You know what it's like to lose your Master, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You tasted the dark side then. What will you do if you lose your Padawan as well?"
"Anakin isn't a part of this," Obi-Wan exclaims, forcing back the fear, the rage, with her greatest effort and not quite succeeding. Something hums in the swift beating of her pulse, something even deeper than her connection with the Force, something that whispers, "Anakin, Anakin, Anakin."
"If this is between us, Dooku..."
"You survived one great loss, Master Kenobi,"
says Dooku, ignoring her as she pulls at her handcuff, the metal clanking against the arm of her hospital bed.
"Yet so many Jedi have, especially since this war began. I like to think that I know you better than you might believe. Killing Skywalker won't turn you to the dark side. The reverse might be true, but I am not my master. I have very little interest in the boy."
He opens his hand, and Anakin collapses to the floor, clutching at his throat and gasping. He pushes himself up slowly, glaring bloody murder at Dooku.
"You..." he spits, his voice hoarse and ragged.
"Anakin, peace," Obi-Wan demands of him, and sees his mouth form protest before he submits, kneeling on the floor with his hands still pressed to his throat, where bruises are forming on the pale skin. Obi-Wan Kenobi raises her chin, drawing her dignity around her in lieu of the Force, and meets Count Dooku's eyes.
"What do you want from us, Count?"
The Sith Lord seems satisfied by her response. A matter that we may discuss at a later point, he says. I will send a droid with a change of clothes. Your own were quite ruined, I'm afraid. And you and your apprentice may join me at dinner. I'm a bit tied up at the moment, Obi-Wan makes herself say, holding up her cuffed hand. I don't suppose you'd be so kind. Dooku makes a motion with his hand, and the cuff clicks open. Obi-Wan pulls her hand free immediately, glancing down at the ring on her wrist where the cuff has scraped it raw in the few minutes since Dooku started choking Anakin. My thanks. He inclines his head slightly in acknowledgement, then turns and leaves, the door closing and locking behind him. Obi-Wan slides out of the bed and hurries to Anakin, kneeling down beside him and putting her arm around him. He leans against her immediately, his whole body stiff with shock.
He tried to kill me, he croaks.
No, Obi-Wan says. He wanted to show us that he could. Anakin shudders and presses his face against her neck, his breathing still with that awful, ugly edge to it. Obi-Wan touches the back of his head, her fingers unerringly finding the spot where his fine hair is still matted with dried blood. He flinches a little, and she pulls away quickly, though Anakin doesn't release his grip on her. Are you all right?
I'm annoyed, he says, sitting back. Sorry, Master. I know that's not very Jedi-like of me.
I suspect even Master Yoda has been annoyed on occasion, Obi-Wan says, rubbing her wrist.
I think Master Windu is annoyed all the time, at least judging by the expression on his face, Anakin confesses.
He leans his head against her shoulder.
I'm glad you're all right, Master. I didn't like thinking that I might be all alone here with Count Dooku and the Clankers, or that I'd have to figure out some way to haul you out of the Bacta tank and onto some kind of escape pod.
I have every faith in you, Anakin, Obi-Wan says. He twists to look at her.
Not that I would have left you behind, Master. You know I wouldn't.
I know, Anakin, she tells him gently. You've done well in a difficult situation. He beams tiredly at her.
Anything for you, Master. You know that.
Obi-Wan is saved from formulating a response to this extraordinary statement by the arrival of a droid carrying a pile of clothing, and, more importantly, the key to Anakin's binders. He seizes on this with an expression of great relief, while Obi-Wan thanks the droid and expects the clothes. Not her clothes, or anything she'd wear under normal circumstances. Tight dark pants with a pale purple tunic beneath a deep violet leather jerkin with pearl buttons on the collar and cuffs. Anakin gives her a deeply appreciative look as she sits down on the edge of the hospital bed to pull on the matching boots, wincing as the movement pulls at her bandaged wounds. He grins at her an apology when she raises an eyebrow, then holds out a hairbrush. Obi-Wan drags it through her hair, which she then separates out into four sections, braiding each of them and wrapping two around the crown of her head, then coiling the others around each other in a figure eight at the nape of her neck, and pinning them into place. Anakin watches her silently, handing her pin after pin until everything seems secure.
Do you think those are Ventress's clothes?
Anakin says, sitting down on the bed beside her as they wait for the droid to come back.
He looks revolted by the idea.
Obi-Wan, who hasn't considered this, rather feels likewise.
I don't believe so, she says after a moment. Asajj Ventress is taller than I am, and this fits too well.
Like he had it tailored for you? Anakin says, even more revolted.
That's really creepy. You look pretty, though.
Thanks, she says dryly. I'm so glad you think so. He chews absently on a fingernail, his sleeve falling back to reveal the redness on his wrist where the handcuff had been.
I need to tell you something, Master, he decides eventually.
Obi-Wan looks at him quickly, wondering what else Dooku has done.
What is it? Are you all right?
Yes, he says, then grins a little, almost shy.
You know that drug that Dooku's been giving us, the one that inhibits use of the Force?
Are you saying it doesn't work on you? Obi-Wan demands.
Anakin's midichlorian count is so high that she supposes it's just possible.
No, it definitely works, Anakin says quickly. It just doesn't work all the way. I can still feel the Force, but not enough to do anything. I can sense you and Dooku, and I could probably take apart the ship's engine if I could get at it, but that's about it. I can't manipulate it.
That could be useful, Obi-Wan says. I'm afraid I have no connection with the Force at all at the moment. It's quite disconcerting.
Anakin winces, probably not even aware he's doing it.
We'll fix it, Master. It can't be permanent. Dooku's obsessed with you. He'd never do anything to screw up his favorite Jedi permanently.
What an awful thought, Obi-Wan says distastefully. I do hope he's prepared to be disappointed.
I hope so. You'd make a really scary Sith.
Both of them stand up as the door slides open again, revealing the same droid that had brought her the clothes earlier.
Count Dooku will see you now, it announces. Please, follow me.
Well, it's not like we had any other plans, Anakin says, falling into step beside Obi-Wan as they follow the droid out into the hall.
This isn't the first time that Obi-Wan has been on a ship run mostly or entirely by droids, but it's as discomforting as ever, even without the Force to whisper in her ear that something is wrong. Something is very wrong. They shouldn't be this far out into deep space without another living being somewhere around them. She rubs her hand over the back of her neck, wondering if it bothers Anakin as much as it does her.
It's entirely possible that he doesn't even notice.
Sometimes she thinks that he likes droids more than he likes people.
Not that Obi-Wan can always blame him.
You know, I gave Dooku my parole, Anakin mutters suddenly to her. It was the only way he'd let me see you.
Should I not have done that?
It's all right, Obi-Wan murmurs back.
Dooku used to be a Jedi. He won't expect you to keep your word.
For all the much-vaunted honor of the Jedi, there's only one code they keep to, and it has nothing in it about telling the truth or keeping one's word. Obi-Wan doesn't like to go that far if she can help it, but if there's one thing that Obi-Wan has learned in this war, it's that there's no such thing as honor. There is only what needs to be done for the Order and the Republic.
She hopes that Anakin has grown to learn this as well. The droid throws them into what Obi-Wan guesses is normally Dooku's office, though now his desk is tucked against the window. Currently deep in hyperspace, she observes, and a square table has been placed in the center of the room, with Dooku waiting at one end and places set for three. He seems pleased to see them.
Colors flatter you, Master Kenobi. I would give you more compliments if I thought you would appreciate them, but I have no doubt that Qui-Gon taught you better. He was, like you are, a true Jedi.
You're not fit to speak his name, Obi-Wan says, with a faint pang. I'm glad he didn't live to see what became of his former master, that you had joined with the very people who murdered him.
Come, come, Master Kenobi. I've seen the security holos. Qui-Gon died fighting, and he died well. It is a pity. I would very much like him to be here today.
I don't have to listen to this filth, Obi-Wan says, the old anger threatening to boil up inside her. It's not at all fitting for a Jedi Knight, and she does her best to shove it down. If all you're going to do is slander Qui-Gon's name, then I believe I'd prefer to be returned to my cell.
Anakin mutters a grumpy affirmative, glaring at Dooku.
The Sith Lord's smile turns chilly.
Let's make a bargain, you and I, Master Kenobi. If you try to escape, you'll have me killed, Obi-Wan says archly, raising an eyebrow. I do not fear death, Count. You are far too valuable to kill, Dooku says. No. If you try to escape, I'll kill your Padawan. And if you try anything, young Skywalker.
You won't kill Obi-Wan, Anakin challenges. You just said that.
Indeed. If you try anything, what happens to Master Kenobi will not be pleasant for either of you. I recommend that you don't attempt to find out.
Anakin bites the inside of his cheek, glaring silently at Dooku as he takes a step closer to Obi-Wan. She gives him her most reassuring look, wishing she could encourage him with the Force.
Qui-Gon would be so pleased, I'm sure, she tells Dooku instead. Don't be impertinent, Master Kenobi. It doesn't suit you, he says, sounding bored. Do we have a bargain?
Very well, Obi-Wan says reluctantly. Anakin?
He jerks his head in something that's probably meant to be a nod. Glaring, bloody murder.
They sit at Dooku's invitation, Obi-Wan ignoring the way the back of her neck prickles when she's near him, and concentrating on the food instead, which is brought out by a protocol droid and is, indeed, quite good. Anakin stabs at it with his fork like he's intent on doing it serious physical damage. Under other circumstances, Obi-Wan might correct him, but she can't bring herself to do so, not with Dooku staring down at them. Obi-Wan is a Jedi. Separating body from mind is her specialty. She cleans her plate, her body desperate for solid nourishment after almost 2 days in a Bacta tank.
What do you want with us, Count Dooku? She says, over her second glass of wine.
You've already said that you don't plan on ransoming us back to the Republic. So far, you've given me medical treatment, blocked our use of the Force, tortured my Padawan, allowed him to contact the Council but forbidden them from informing the Supreme Chancellor, and threatened to kill or torture us. I must admit, I'm a bit confused.
With Skywalker? Nothing. His only significance is to you, not me.
Anakin glowers silently at him. What do you want with me, then? Obi-Wan rephrases, wishing she had the Force to guide her questions.
Your droids have made a fairly good try at killing me over the past year and a half. Do you really expect me to believe that you've had a sudden and sincere change of heart?
Call it a change of perspective, if you will, Dooku says, tilting his head to look at her. His gaze is direct and piercing, with the power of the Force behind it. Obi-Wan suddenly realizes why non-Force-sensitive beings are told never to look a Jedi in the eye. Every instinct she has is screaming at her to meet his gaze, to hold it, but without the Force behind her, it would be a very bad idea. She holds it as long as she can, then lets her own gaze flicker slightly away from his, breaking the connection.
You once taught a course at the Jedi Temple on the history of the Sith, Dooku observes.
Yes, Obi-Wan allows cautiously.
What a thrill it must have been for all those young Padawans to stand in the same room as the only Jedi in a millennium to kill a Sith Lord. Surely you, of all people, know what has always been true of the Sith.
Anakin answers before Obi-Wan can.
Two, he says. There are always two, a master and an apprentice. It's a perversion of the Jedi, he adds, his scowl deepening.
The council investigates your claim of a second Sith Lord hiding in the Senate, Obi-Wan says. There is no evidence of this. You are wasting our time, Count. We are Jedi, not fools.
I find your lack of faith disturbing, Master Kenobi, Dooku says mildly. There is a second Sith, as it happens. As there always is.
Your apprentice, Obi-Wan questions. Someone you tricked into replacing the one who murdered Qui-Gon on Naboo? The one I killed?
My master, Dooku replies. The one who intends to replace me with a new apprentice. Someone more pliable.
His gaze drifts across the table to Anakin.
Someone young. Someone whom he can easily control. My master knows the ways of the Sith well, but this blinds him to their flaws.
Apparently it blinds him to more than that, Anakin snaps. The Sith are evil! Look at this war! Look in the mirror! He sneers.
Control your Padawan, Master Kenobi, or I will, Dooku tells Obi-Wan, raising an eyebrow.
She clenches her fist beneath the table, not liking to be told how to train her own Padawan, even by the Jedi Council, let alone by a Sith traitor. But fear of what Dooku might do if Anakin can't hold his tongue wins out over pride.
Anakin, she says softly, nudging his ankle with her toe.
He sets his jaw.
I'm not afraid of you, he tells Dooku. Just remember, Dooku says, it's not yourself whom you should fear for.
Anakin glances at Obi-Wan, his face creasing into worry. She closes her eyes briefly. He shouldn't be worried about her, that's for her to do for him, and looks back at Dooku.
Your point, Count. My master has been very beneficial to me in the past. To the war, though his efforts have been divided, to say the least. His usefulness has passed.
So you want the Jedi Council to remove him, so you may have a free hand, Obi-Wan interprets.
The Jedi want the second Sith gone, Dooku says. And so do I. We have something in common, Master Kenobi.
And in return?
The Senate treats with the Confederacy. Peacefully. No tricks.
I know a senator or two who might be persuaded, Obi-Wan allows reluctantly.
But you understand that the Council will never allow a Sith Lord to control a significant portion of the galaxy. It is against everything the Jedi stand for.
Leave that to me. This is too easy. Tell me the name and allow me to contact the Council, Obi-Wan says. I fear that I do not have the authority to speak for something this important on my own.
Master Kenobi, Count Dooku says. There is one more thing I want in return. You know what it is.
Obi-Wan's entire body stiffens.
No, she says. I will never join you, Dooku. I am a Jedi. My loyalty is to the Order and the Republic, and I can be neither bought nor bargained for.
Can't you? Dooku says. He flicks his fingers at the door behind them, which slides open obediently. Two battle droids enter. Anakin and Obi-Wan both rise in one smooth movement, mirrors of each other.
Dooku!
Anakin spits, like the name itself is a curse.
Take Master Skywalker back to the med room, he orders, and give him his medicine.
Roger, roger,
the lead droid says, reaching for Anakin's arm. He shrugs it aside, glaring bloody murder at Dooku.
I won't leave Master Obi-Wan, Anakin snaps. Whatever you're going to say to her, you can say in front of me.
No, I won't, Dooku says. He is quite loyal, isn't he?
He adds to Obi-Wan.
Remind him that if he refuses to cooperate, the results will not be pleasant for either of you.
Anakin glances at Obi-Wan.
I'll go, he says quickly. But if you hurt her, I'll kill you. I swear I'll kill you. Dooku doesn't respond to the bait, just nods at the droids, who herd Anakin out of the room. He glances back at Obi-Wan, his expression anxious before the door closes between them. She clenches her hands on the edge of the table, her heart pounding in her throat.
He isn't a very good Jedi, is he? Dooku observes.
He's young, Obi-Wan says smoothly, straightening up and clasping her hands behind her back. He still has much to learn.
But do you have anything more to teach him?
He stands up, looking at her steadily with the force behind his dark gaze as he moves around the edge of the table.
You aren't a very good Jedi either, Obi-Wan Kenobi. It isn't your fault, of course. You were too young to become a knight, too inexperienced to go from being a Padawan to having one yourself.
I was old enough. There have been many Jedi who are made knights much younger than I, Obi-Wan says. Anakin has only been in the Order for 11 years. He has time, if this war gives it to him.
Qui-Gon failed you, Master Kenobi. The Jedi Order has failed you. You and your Padawan feel too much, too deeply. The Jedi have made you believe that this is a weakness, but they are wrong. It is a strength. Think of what you could be without them.
I am a Jedi Knight, Obi-Wan says flatly. All that I desire is the continued safety and well-being of the Republic, which you, by the way, threaten. I have no use for a man who turns his back on the principles that he swore to uphold, or for a man who doesn't have any.
And when this war is over, the Jedi Order will have no use for a Padawan and a Master who violate one of their central tenets, Dooku says. But I will.
I don't know what you're talking about, Obi-Wan says, but a slight shiver of foreboding runs down her spine.
Dooku steps close to her, running his hand down her arm.
Obi-Wan is a Jedi. She keeps herself from shuddering or flinching away, but she can't hide the tension in her body.
I've been watching you and Skywalker on the Holonet for months now, says Dooku. If the Jedi haven't seen it by now, then they're even more foolish than I believed. When this war ends, you and he will both be drummed out of the Order.
Your eyes have betrayed you, Count, Obi-Wan says, turning her head to watch him. Neither Anakin nor I have ever betrayed the code.
Not in body, Dooku says. Not yet. But you will never be the Jedi that you wish to be. You will give in to your emotions.
I don't know what you're talking about, Obi-Wan repeats.
Your Padawan is in love with you, Dooku says,
and smiles, a self-satisfied little smirk that makes Obi-Wan's blood run cold.
And you return it.